Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij de eerste uitzending van Hour of Power in het nieuwe jaar. En u bent denk ik een beetje jaloers op me, want ik bevind me in zonnig Californië. En op de achtergrond ziet u die kerk die voor velen zoveel betekent, althans de boodschap die wereldwijd wordt uitgezonden. Ik ben hier ter gelegenheid van het bezoek van honderden Nederlanders in het kader van de 500ste aflevering van Hour of Power. Dus u begrijpt, het is geen live uitzending, het is een paar weken geleden opgenomen. Maar u gaat het allemaal meemaken, de ontmoetingen van de Nederlanders hier in de Crystal Cathedral. En bijzonder is het optreden van Sharon Kipps, onze winnares van de X Factor, die zal zingen en ook zal vertellen over haar aangrijpende leven in deze uitzending van Hour of Power. En ik vind het een voorrecht om het nieuwe jaar te beginnen met een interview met dominee Robert Harold Schuller, de senior pastor van de kerk. En hij is, kan ik u zeggen, ongelooflijk blij met de aanwezigheid van zoveel Nederlanders. En natuurlijk muziek van het Crystal Cathedral Choir. En ik hoop dat u bijzonder zult genieten van deze eerste uitzending in het nieuwe jaar. En we hopen er 52 uit te zenden. Hartelijk dank voor uw steun. En ja, we gaan naar de Crystal Cathedral. En ik hoop dat u bijzonder zult genieten van de Hollandse zondag hier.
This is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh God, lots of things come tumbling in our minds, some from our memories and some from moods that have a way of slipping in uninvited. And some have a way of hitting our heart through a word from the Holy Bible or a prayer that is prayed probably by somebody sitting behind us that's there waiting to be blessed by God. It's your day, God, and we're your people. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. thank you. You may be seated. Today we're honoring the 500th telecast of the Hour of Power in the Netherlands. And I'm so proud to say that some of the greatest people in the Netherlands have come to be with us today. Thank you for being here. We'll talk about that a minute later. But among the people in the Netherlands that support this program is the Prime Minister, who has been in the cathedral and is a very beloved Christian. So, well, this is the day that God got a great idea, and he put this whole church together, and he is blessing us. So, well, let's welcome now the 240 members of the Hour of Power from the Netherlands have come with their managing director, Louis Pohl. Where are you, all you people? Stand up. Hey, Louis, how are you? How's it going? Thank you. You may be seated. There is a girl here in the Holland delegation named Christine. Did she come here to church this morning? Is she in this? Oh, Christine. Christine, do you mind coming up here a minute? You have such an amazing story. I could tell your story, but it's better. Can you tell it yourself?
I'll try.
You'll try?
I'll try.
Now let's see about a microphone. Will this work? Yes? You tried.
Okay. A couple of years ago, when I was about 12, 13 years old, I was going through a rough time at home, and one Sunday, I turned on the TV, and I saw Dr. Schuller, and he said, God loves you, and so do I. That stayed in my head. And times got worse and worse, and I tried to kill myself twice. And each time I went to the railway to just jump, that voice was in my head and said to me, God loves you, and so do I. And it was like nagging in my head, and I just said, can I get out? Please get it out. And I turned on the television again, and I saw his son saying the same thing. God loves you, and so do I. And again, I went to the railway, and I stood there. And now I heard two voices saying to me, God loves you, and so do I. And in that moment, I decided, if three people love me, God, you and your son, then it's enough for me to live, to think possible things, and to turn my life around. So I thank you for this ministry, to let people know that someone loves them, that God loves them, and that you, through this television, all over the world, share your love for all of us.
Thank you. The person who put this Hour of Power together and made it happen in the Netherlands is one of my dearest friends of many, many years. Over a decade. His name is Jan van den Bos. He's the vice chairman of the Dutch board and the host of the Hour of Power Netherlands. So, Jan, come and read for us today's scripture.
Dr. Schuller, we're very proud of your Dutch heritage, and we're extremely thankful that the Hour of Power is televised every Sunday, two times on a Sunday, and every night of the week. And It brings comfort and joy to many of our fellow Dutch people. The message is heard, and what you always says, cynics turn into seekers, and seekers have turned into believers, and they're here in this church. And thank you for that wonderful ministry of the Hour of Power. And we are great to celebrate our 500th episode with you and the choir that is so dear to our heart together. And we have a surprise for you, because when you grew up, with your Dutch background here in America, your parents would sing the old hymns, the Psalms of David. Psalm 42 talks about the deer that is longing for fresh water. Shall we all rise and sing this song to Dr. Schuller? Zeigend het der Jacht ontkomen.
Zeigend het der Jacht ontkomen.
Familiar words of the Christmas story from Luke 2. Now there were shepherds in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be with all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward all." And now giving the Dutch translation of this scripture, "Ere zij God in de hoge, vrede op aarde, en in mensen een welbehagen." This is the word of the Lord.
I may be a new face to some of you. To many of you, I'm a close friend. I have grown up in this church. I was 2 years old when my father, Dr. Robert Schuller, started the Hour of Power television program. I am the youngest of the children of Dr. Robert Schuller and Arvella Schuller. Thank you for allowing me to be here with you. I have the true joy and privilege of welcoming today a very special young lady to our Crystal Cathedral this morning. She is here visiting with us, along with the 240 Dutch people that are here celebrating the 500th telecast of the Netherlands Hour of Power. And she is the winner of the Dutch version of American Idol. She won last season. She's gotten tremendous faith, and we've asked her to come share it with you. Please welcome with me Sharon Kips. Thank you for coming, Sharon. You're so beautiful.
Thank
I
you.
Love your eyes. They sparkle.
Now your suit. So it's easy.
You do. You sparkle, and you sparkle with the faith of Jesus Christ. And you didn't. And you allowed that sparkle of Christ to shine throughout the season that you were on of the Dutch version of American Idol. Tell us about that.
Well, I didn't really like testify in the songs I sung because they were secular songs. But what I did testify in was, at one point I was asked, what is your favorite food and stuff like that? And they asked me, what is your favorite book? And I said, the Bible. So that's when everybody in Holland knew, okay, she's a Christian.
Wow. Now, I also heard that one of the judges on the program was an atheist. And this is a person that has a certain amount of power to kick you off the show. Did that ever concern you as a performer and as a contestant to be open with your faith?
Well, I didn't know he was an atheist, so maybe good for me not to have known that. So it didn't bother me in any way because I didn't know. I just went and just did what I had to do.
And what made you want to audition? That's got to be a scary thing.
Yeah, well, I've been a singer since I was young, and at one point I was at the office. I worked, I studied, and I graduated, and I was like, okay, I would really love to be able to live of singing, being able to do that. So I asked the Lord, Lord, please open the doors, make a way. And then I saw the advertising on the television of X Factor, because that's what it's called in Holland, and I volunteered.
How many people audition?
I think maybe 20,000. I hope I have it correct.
And you made it all the way.
Yes.
As an example for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Now, you started singing, you said, when you were young. What age?
When I was 7, I started.
And how old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
Okay. I'm 25 years old.
Wow. And I understand that your childhood was a little unique. Tell me about that. Where did your faith come from?
My faith came from my parents. I grew up being a Christian, and it really, like, deepened the faith when we ended up on the streets. Because my parents didn't believe at first, they weren't Christians, and then they became to Christ, and that's when the things started to happen, because they were actually really wealthy, and God asked them, are you willing to give up everything you have and follow me? And my parents were like, okay, yeah, sure, we will, yes, of course. And they did, but they thought they will not lose everything, but in fact they did. So we ended up on the streets being homeless.
So growing up homeless helped you become a stronger Christian?
Yes.
How do you explain that?
You know, when you have nothing, you're very dependent on God, because we did it because of God. We said we want to give up everything we have and follow you, Jesus. So we did. And because we did that, God gave us so much more than material things can ever give you. Yeah.
Now, Netherlands is having an economic crisis, as is America. Mm-hmm. What would you say to people who are struggling, who are losing their home, who today can't make their house payment and their home is going into foreclosure? I know the house right across the street from us is now in foreclosure. What do you say to those people? Because they're thinking, if it, being a Christian means being homeless, maybe that's not what I want.
Okay. I was actually really happy because my parents were very close with God, because they had nothing. So they stayed really close with him. And what he gave them was peace, love, joy, and everything else you can imagine that God gives people. So as a child, I didn't have any problem with not having anything. We had 2 bags of clothes. That was everything we had. But children reflect on their parents. So if your parents are being stressful, are depressed about the situation, it hits you as a child as well. So because of my parents were really in the faith, I didn't have any problem with it. Yeah, so that's my advice to
people.
Stay in the faith, and as parents, please don't despair or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Believe in God, because he will change the situation, and he is in the situation. So.
And I understand that Hour of Power has had an impact on your life.
Yes, it's a real big family. That's what Hour of Power is. Mm-hmm. It's a family in Christ, and it's so so encouraging and so great to see that people here and all over the world, if you're in Christ, we're all one family. We all are connected. And that's a great encouragement.
So it's not just a TV show.
It's not just a TV show. Amen.
Amen.
No, no.
Wow. Now, you also give back to the community. You're involved with Children Asking.
Yes.
Tell us about Children Asking.
Okay. Children Asking is a Dutch organization who work with kids in call it in Portuguese, favelas in Brazil. That is the slums. Mm-hmm. And the kids are like being exposed to prostitution, drug dealing, and all kinds of violence. So we as an organization give schooling to the kids, and we share the gospel, which is the most important thing.
And you donate your time to do that?
Yes, in Holland, yeah.
You're going to sing for us?
Yes.
And what are you singing?
God's Alive and Well.
Amen. Well, thank you,
Amen.
Sharon. Thank
yes.
you. Sing for us.
Yeah.
Stars hang in the sky. Oh, when I watch a bird spread its wings and fly, and each time I hear the wind blow through the
Dr.
Fantastic.
Sharon Kipps?
Fantastic. Well, she was a perfect star of the 250 Dutchmen that came over here.
Yeah.
And she'll be heard by millions of people. She had a great voice.
Yeah.
But I owe it all to you, John. You put it together years ago. I wanted to put the Hour of Power on in Holland because I'm 100% Dutch blood, as is my wife. And so we come from a total Dutch genetic background. And when I visited there maybe 15 years ago, I didn't feel a heavy vibration of faith in God. And I saw things in the lives of people on the sidewalk. And I didn't feel the faith vibrant. They probably would have said, oh yes, we're believers in God. They might have said, we're Reformed or Reformed or Baptist. But something was missing in their eyes. And I cried. They were my family. I was probably related to them. And I prayed, oh God, I hope I could put the Hour of Power on in here. I think I'm a Dutchman. I probably will do it in a way that they might, some of them are probably going to like me. That could happen. So I prayed for it. Nothing happened until you came into the picture, Jan van den Bos. The rest is history.
And now the 500th episode. I'm truly, if I may say so, truly thankful and honored
And I feel privileged that this message is being heard and seen every Sunday in the Netherlands. And I, what I truly see, and we've witnessed in the church with the story of Christine, that in a secular country where people have written Jesus at the bottom of their list, that they come to the end of the list and then watch the Hour of Power and find Jesus.
Yeah.
Today is a special day with so many Dutch in the church. But this interview will air on the first Sunday of January. What is your wish for our country?
Oh, I wish for your country to have a revival and a renaissance of the historic faith, and in a positive frame. The history of the Reformed Church, which is where I'm from, is not unblemished. It has its high points and low points. It's times when they were not what I wish they would have been. But that's humanity. That's who we are. But the most terrible thing humans can do is throw out the baby with the dirty water. And I think many in Holland probably have done that. They have in this country. Throw out the baby with a dirty water. Yeah. And I, at the age of 82, majored in history and psychology at the universities. There is nothing else in the world that teaches a philosophy or a faith that generates hope and confidence and optimism and courage like the faith that comes from Jesus Christ. All of the people in Holland who may have drifted away, maybe your parents drifted away, and so you were born without a faith. Get back to it.
What does it mean to you that royals in the Netherlands, our Prime Minister, Jan Pieter Balkenende, but also ordinary people, people with pain and people with joy, are watching the Hour of Power? It's a very broad perspective of Dutch society.
Well, because they're all equal. They all have their sins, their guilts, their burdens, their perceived or real failures. I am different than any other Reformed church or Protestant minister that ever lived. And there will be never be another one. What makes me different is I'm the only one in history that studied psychology under Viktor Frankl.
Yeah.
I started this as a pastor of a Reformed church called this Crystal Cathedral. And I was in that post for 39 years. And all I wanted to do is bring a healthy, emotionally and spiritually healthy Christian faith to people through television. See, I see myself as a shepherd of ideas and opportunities.
You are truly a messenger over there in the marketplace, pointing out to the church.
That's my calling.
Yeah. I hope you, God will enable you to do that for a very, very long time.
I think I will, because my death will not stop it.
Yeah.
By your
that's
time,
a good point.
I will be there, and many people will see me for the first time, and they will know who I've been.
Yeah.
Am I dead or alive? I can't tell. The message is a good message. It transcends time. It's because of my good education in psychology, particularly, and the Bible.
Well, Dr. Schuller, thank you for your love and for all you do also, especially for us in the Netherlands. Know that for many you are their pastor. The Hour of Power is their church, and hopefully one day they will find their own church. But in our secular society, where people search for truth, you are a shepherd leading to Jesus Christ.
Thank you. I accept that because it's true, not because of what I did. The Bible verse I hear in my mind more and more with every passing week, the older I get, are the words of Jesus. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Shura. We have to go back to the church. You're going to preach a great sermon. And while we're going up to the church, we're going to listen to Travis Cottrell, a great singer. Oh,
fantastic. Yeah, he's sung in the Netherlands a few times, he proudly tells me. Yeah.
Thank you again, Dr. Shura.
Thank you.
The first light of a new day, no one knew he had arrived. Things continued as they had been, while a newborn softly cried. But the heavens, wrapped in wonder, knew the meaning of his birth. In the weakness of a baby, they knew God had come to earth. And as his mother held him closely, it was hard to understand that her baby, not yet speaking, was the word of God to man. And he would tell them of his kingdom, but their hearts would not believe. They would hate him, and in anger, they would nail him to a tree. But the sadness would be broken as the song of life arose, and the firstborn of creation would ascend and take his throne. He had left it to redeem us, but before his life began,
you have a great gift.
Thank you.
And most importantly, the Holy Spirit lives in you. You can't hide it.
That's right.
The eyes get glassy, and you can't shut it off. takes one to know one. You are one of us.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. I suppose my favorite Christmas verse is from the Old Testament in the prophecy, where it says that he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. God came to visit the earth. Now, let that try to sink into our consciousness. It's an awesome sentence, because there are people that don't believe there is a God. And then there are people that have beliefs in God that, I would be an atheist if I were taught to believe that God is what some people believe. And then there are people who are agnostics. And you get down to the bottom line, you have to start the sentence with the word if, because it's a faith. And if it starts with faith, then we have to say, if there is a God, can you imagine that eternal, invisible, intelligent, somebody coming into a material form? There's a word for this. And most of you are theologically trained. You know the word. The word is incarnation. To incarnate something is to take a concept and turn it into a reality. To take a dream of, let's say, a building and turn it into an actual structure. That's incarnation. To take a feeling that you have of love for your special one and become one in marriage. That's an incarnation of your feeling. Incarnation is to take something that's spiritual and turn it into something that's material. Now, God did that, and we say that's when God visited the earth. Phenomenal. Visited the earth. The greatest news in the world is that God has visited this earth. He has walked this planet. He has made his great pronouncements. He has uttered his voice. He has spoken his mind. He has declared his will. He has revealed his heart. God visited this earth in a human being. Visit. That's an interesting word, because I was preparing this message and I thought of the early years in this ministry. And in that first year, I didn't have a meeting, I didn't have a board, I didn't have to do anything except I rang doorbells and visited houses. Interesting. And it reminded me of my first church, where I did some internship before I came here. And I remember calling one day on the home of the elder, James Tice, and I rang the doorbell. And his little 5-year-old boy came to the door, looked at me, and yelled, "Dipes, it's the preacher!" Slammed the door. Never forget that. He's now a very, very famous and very successful surgeon, Dr. Tice. Hey, Johnny, do you remember? The grandest visit of all, when God came to planet Earth. And Isaiah, the Hebrew, is beautiful. Let me quote it for you. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. I love the Hebrew language, because it's all on vowels. Very little consonants. Nahamu, nahamu, ami, yomer, Elohim. Daviru, elev, Yerushalayim. Comfort ye my people, says your God. Or in the Old Testament, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Bereshith bara Elohim ha-shamayah ha-aretz. Out of that Hebrew setting, God visited the earth as a Hebrew. Very interesting. All through the Old Testament, God was making presentations, revelations to people. A revelation to a man named Moses, that there is a moral law that heaven requires from planet Earth. Wonderful. And God revealed to Abraham that he was one God, not many gods. Ethical monotheism, we call it. The greatest concept in religion, that there aren't many gods, But there is an ethical monotheism, one God. And that concept of ethical monotheism is embraced first by the Jewish people, then by the Christians. Ethical monotheism sets us into a camp by ourselves compared with polytheism. God came to visit the earth. Wow. And I want to give you some points on this in the limited time. The need of the incarnation. Why? The wonder of it. How did it happen? The motive of it. What was the reason? Number four, the ultimate purpose. What is it? Quickly, the need. Why did God come to earth? I said years ago in one of my theological papers that God was morally obligated to reveal himself to the human family. Well, I happen to be a Calvinist in my theology. I did the Calvinist thesis in seminary, 273 pages. I'm proud of that. But some Calvinists argue. They say, well, God is sovereign. He is not morally obligated. I contend that in the incarnation, Jesus lived under the moral obligation of humans, so we could say God was morally obligated. But if you have a problem with that, that's too deep for you, and you're starting to get bored, let me give you a simpler sentence. God's love compelled him to self-disclosure. Think about it. If God had never come to earth to show us that he's real, that he's loving, he's ultimate intelligence, if God had kept himself a secret, I couldn't love him. His love compelled him to step out of the silence and the shadows and the secrets. So human beings wouldn't have to go on trying to guess if he was real, and guess what he was like, and create their own concepts of God. God was morally obligated to let us know. If he stayed back there and left us guess, we'd be guessing wrong. He'd be immoral. Be terrible. That's the compelling reason for the incarnation. His visit to this earth. Wow. The wonder of it all. Think of it. Think of it. He became a human being. He had to. Now think of the wonder of it. The eternal God, whose majesty absolutely surpasses any concept of human imagination. He came in simplicity, not in celebrity. Think of that. A human being. And then a baby. And then a baby from poor parents. And then in Bethlehem, a little town that was a put-down town by the people who lived in Jerusalem. Total simplicity. The wonder of it. And three, the motive. Why he came in a child. Because his ultimate purpose in coming in the incarnation was to bring dignity back to the human family. We lost our dignity when Adam walked out of the Garden of Eden and his chevrons of power were removed. He walked out of the Garden of Eden a nobody when he was a somebody. And the great loss and the great sin was the loss of healthy human pride in its place, shame, disgrace. And we live in sin in this world, and you know it's when you see shame instead of honor. Wow. So he came as a baby in a manger with smells Why? To bring dignity to the child, to bring dignity to the poor, to bring dignity to the oppressed, to bring dignity to the marginalized and to the have-nots. The incarnation, the need God had to show himself so we wouldn't have to doubt all the time and guess and fall for a lot of the ridiculous teachings of religion in the world. The need, the wonder. Can anything be more dignified? Innocence in a baby. The motive to save us from shame to self-respect and self-confidence and self-dignity. Wow. And the purpose of it all? Why? Because without dignity, we have no self-respect. Without any self-respect, we don't believe in ourselves. And without this dignity, we don't trust the dreams that come into our mind, because at the outset, they're impossible. And God can't communicate to people who don't even believe in themselves. And the reason behind most atheism is not the science that's put forward improperly. Atheists can't even believe in themselves. They can't believe in God. Why? What's God's purpose? Putting dignity back into us. Now we can become his children, creative children. We believe in dreams. They came from him. Impossible dreams. They came from him. We can do anything if we can believe it and believe in him. Yes, the purpose of God, the incarnation, was to turn the human race into a creative class of creatures on planet Earth instead of just barbaric animals. He wants us to build a beautiful life, a beautiful world where human beings help each other, where we are connected with him. And he can live through us. He can love through us. And whatever you do, whatever job you have, you're a truck driver, you're probably the most important person in the world, because you deliver the food. Without you, we wouldn't be able to get what we need. And I remember talking once to a young man who had a horrible cerebral palsy. He was a member of this church. He's dead now in heaven. But he said to me, he said, "Dr. Shuler, your one sermon, I always felt I was worthless. I had no value. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't have a career. I could read and write, and that was about all, but I was useless." But then I spent so much time in the hospital, and this one nurse was so nice to me. And she said, "You go to the Christian Cathedral, so do I." She said, "You hear Schuller's sermon last Sunday?" He said, "No, I wasn't there." "Oh, you should have been." And she told him what I said, every life has a purpose. She said, "You have a great purpose too." He said, "What?" "Ah," she said, "without you, I wouldn't be working. Wouldn't need a nurse. Oh, and I feed my kids. Husband's dead. All the people in this place," she said, "are like you. Without them, we wouldn't have the opportunity to give our love, show people how worthy they are." God's purpose. Everybody has a purpose. I guess God knew you needed me, and he set this whole thing up. Wow. Wow. God visited this earth. When that happened, everything changed. Faith, intelligent, affectionate, responsible, healthy faith came to this world. Ethical monotheism went beyond Abraham, beyond the Ten Commandments, until God himself decided he would visit this earth and he would pay the price and he would die on a cross. But people would become believers. Yes, they would.
and that would change the world. It wouldn't turn it into a perfect sinless world, no. But it would raise the people scattered all over the planet who would meet Jesus, invite him into their life, love people the way Jesus would love them, help people the way God would help them. That's the good news of Christmas. And it all happened because God decided to pay us a visit. That's the way to celebrate Christmas, isn't it? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you came to visit us. And now we trust you. Oh God, we listen to what Jesus said, what he taught. We look at how he lived. And we know we're looking at God coming to earth to give us all the proof he'd ever give us that he's alive, that he loves us, and he wants to save us. Hallelujah. Amen. In your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset, no dawning, only eternal life and light forevermore. Amen.
Nou, ik vond het heel emotioneel. Heel emotioneel. Ja, echt waar.
Wat raakt jouw emotie?
Nou, toen ik dominee Schuller natuurlijk zag, omdat je op de televisie, ja, je ziet hem altijd in dat kastje. En nou is dat allemaal echt. Het is gewoon een wonder. Een wonder dat ik dit allemaal mag beleven.
Ik heb genoten. En ik vond ook, de zangeres heeft het uitstekend gedaan in het interview, zowel als de zang zelf.
En wat vond je van Sharon?
Ja, geweldig. Nee, je wordt geweldig, ja.
Kun je het gevoel beschrijven om hier te zijn?
Oh, ja.
Kun je het gevoel beschrijven om hier te zijn?
Ja, een bijzonder gevoel. Ja. Wel, ja. Niet veel,
met emotie.
Ja. Met, ja.
Ja.
Welke emotie?
Liefde, dat er liefde is. En je voelt ook bij het echtpaar Schuller, dat heb ik gisteravond heel duidelijk gemerkt, dat ze iets uitstralen en dat ze die energie, dat die is voelbaar. Die is enorm voelbaar. En om, ja, je doet het met elkaar. En dat is het belangrijkste. Eigenlijk ook wat de boodschap van
Jezus.
Dat je positief denken en dat je dat met elkaar uitdraagt.
Het was fantastisch. En we zaten natuurlijk geweldig. Het koor en het orkest. En eindelijk hebben we het allemaal gezien.
Mijn hart gaat helemaal open. Het is werkelijk geweldig.
Kijk, je ziet natuurlijk deze massa op de televisie altijd. En dan denk je, wauw, wat een kerk en wat een orkest en alles. Nou, nu hebben we het gezien. Het was werkelijk heel bijzonder.
Ik woon in Noorwegen. Dit is mijn moeder. En zij is 5 oktober jarig en ik dacht, wat kan ik haar geven wat ze haar leven nooit meer vergeet? En toen zei ik tegen mijn vrouw, wat vind je ervan als ik mijn moeder meeneem naar de Hour of Power, die reis naar de Crystal Cathedral. Dat hebben we gedaan. Ik zit elke zondag, wanneer ik kijk, met tranen in mijn ogen te kijken. Het raakt je hart. En dat is de liefde van Jezus die het meest essentiële in het leven is. Wat die geneest en die mensenlevens verandert.
Dat heeft een lieve zoon.
Ja, geweldig. Ik vind het ook heel bijzonder dat hij er vroeg. Want ik dacht, ja, je neemt je vrouw mee. Nee, hij zegt, ik ga een keer met mijn moeder op stap. Nou, ik vind het heel bijzonder.
We are so honored that that many people would want to come and visit us here at the cathedral. We don't take one visitor for granted, but 240, we are so deeply honored.
Nou, u heeft het meegemaakt. Wat een vreugdevolle ontmoeting hier op de Hollandse Zondag in de Crystal Cathedral. Fijn om de oude dominee Schuller te mogen spreken en te horen preken. Het dienen van God en dienen van mensen staat centraal in de Crystal Cathedral en ook bij Hour of Power Nederland. En wij willen al die vrijwilligers, en dat zijn er zoveel, bedanken voor hun inzet. Om boeken te versturen, de telefoon aan te nemen, brieven te verzenden, lid te zijn van het gebedsteam, te helpen bijvoorbeeld bij onze kerstconcerten die net voorbij zijn en die zo geweldig waren. En we laten daarom als dank aan alle vrijwilligers op de aftiteling een groot aantal namen zien. Uw naam staat er misschien niet bij, maar u bent bijzonder belangrijk voor ons. Dank u wel voor het kijken naar Hour of Power. God loves you, and so do we.
We'll play, feel the flame forever burn, teaching lessons we must learn to bring us closer to the power.